So Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God. Hello, and welcome to Dwell on Truth. Today I have a special guest named Mike Asplin, who is a retired assistant police chief, and I have the pleasure of meeting Mike at Cypress Church. He sings on the worship team, he's done radio, he's done audio, video, and while I was on the Flight 1080 show, giving reasons for the Christian faith, Mike actually called in and he helped out. I thought, I need to have this guy on my show. So welcome, Mike, to Dwell on Truth.
I appreciate you having me on the show. People ask me, how do you define yourself? I define myself in three ways. One, I'm a Christian. Second, I'm a police officer. And third, I'm a Jungle Cruise skipper. And that's the unknown point is that, yeah, I got my start as a Jungle Cruise skipper at Disneyland.
Really?
Oh, yes. So you mix law enforcement and Jungle Cruise and Christianity all together and you get me. And God has been faithful to my family and I, my wife. We have three daughters, all followers, all believers. Two are married to Navy officers and currently on the East Coast. And the third one is a senior at Biola University, which is a problem because if you're not aware, Westmont College and Biola University are rivals. So you have myself and my eldest daughter who are Westmont grads and my two younger daughters who are Biola grads. So It's all good.
So you're familiar with the format for the show. I love to have my guests share their testimony. If you can weave the gospel into that, great. But I really want to hear your background so we can understand who you are and where you're going, how the Lord has led you to this point where you're at right now.
So let me start with my testimony. I was born and raised in Southern California. My mom and dad took my two brothers and I to a Methodist church, and we were part of the various youth groups. I was on a weekend away at a place called Camp Sturdivant in the San Bernardino Mountains. And one evening, one of the facilitators was giving a message and specifically talked about how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it is through Christ alone that we can find peace with God and have salvation, and you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that resonated with me. And when the talk ended and we prayed out, I spent some time outside with the guy who gave the message and accepted Christ at that point. And I've never looked back from that. And I believe and I feel that it is the call of every Christian to share the hope that they have in the gospel. And our job, regardless of what vocation or profession we fall into, is to win as many people as possible for Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. And that doesn't mean that we have to take off and you've done all these things, but it doesn't mean you have to take off and be a missionary overseas. You don't. I've listened to your podcasts and being a street preacher, everybody serves in a different way. And for me, my call was to become a police officer, to go into law enforcement. And I wound up, after high school, I wound up at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California. And for those that have been around for a while, you may be familiar with Francis Schaeffer. He was a theologian that I think he died in 85, somewhere in there. Why that's significant is that one of his last appearances was actually at Westmont College. I felt compelled that I should go see this guy because people said that he was a really important person in the Christian church, and he was probably going to die of cancer, and these were going to be one of his last appearances. So I'm like, well, that might be a reason to go. So it was his son, Frankie, that was up talking, and it was in the Murchison Gym. It's amazing the things you remember going back in time. And in the course of his addressing the students, and I was sitting up on the right-hand side of the gym, can picture it right now, he made this statement, "What we need in the world today are more Christian police officers. Heaven opened and God shined down from above and the Holy Spirit said, this is what you're going to do." And So that's what started that. And so I pursued that, and in 1988, was hired by the Santa Barbara Police Department as a police officer, and then over the next 26 years, served in law enforcement. And God opened a door for me to come up here to Monterey to be the assistant police chief, and I retired in 2003 from that career. And transitioned over into college here, where I continue to work with law enforcement agencies and other partners to continue to help keep the United States safe, which is pretty cool. And all of that under the umbrella of my faith. And I am humbled at how he has taken care of us over the years.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice testimony. Before we go on, we have a word from our sponsor.
Let's go to commercial.
Yeah. Before you hear his riveting, what his next stage of ministry is, it's something very important. So stay tuned for that. But first, a word from our sponsor. Who is sponsoring this episode?
So do you have a chair or a couch or a dining room set or something that needs to be recovered with new fabric? Do you have that?
I do.
Wow. Well, I have an opportunity for you to make something look new again. So my wife, Marjorie, is the owner of Reborn Upholstery. It is a company, a business that's right here in Salinas, and we operated it out of our garage. And Reborn Upholstery is sponsoring the radio show today. So if you're interested in looking at Marjorie's work, she's got almost 40 years of experience doing this. If you're interested in learning about what she does, check out Reborn Upholstery, or just go search for Reborn Upholstery and you will find how to get a hold of her, and she would be happy to give you a quote.
So we can see like a portfolio, some pictures.
Lots of pictures.
What's the website address?
Just if you search Reborn Upholstery, Salinas.
Reborn Upholstery, Salinas. You heard it, folks. You have a old chair or couch that you love, but it just looks all worn out. You can get it recovered.
Recovered and repaired. And if it's sagging in the middle, all of that work that goes into spring work and you name it, and she does it. No automotive, though. That's a little bit harder to do, and she enjoys doing the chairs.
So thank you to our sponsor, Reborn Upholstery, for covering this episode so we can recover it.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Yeah.
So speaking of recovery, is there any other kind of ministry that this segues into?
Wow, what a lead in. Amazing. So transitioning to back to the story and where we're at, I am entering my 32nd year in serving with a variety of law enforcement agencies across the country now led me to a Southern California Police Department, where I started doing work on a human trafficking network. There's a methodology that I train to right now called social network analysis, not to be confused with social media, but basically what we're doing is looking at all the types of relationships that criminals might be involved in, whether it be friendship ties, family ties, co-offender ties, you name it. We want to bring all this together so that we can examine what this entire network looks like. So it happened that one of these projects that I was helping with was on a human trafficking network. Having three daughters that are in that age range of when women are trafficked started to stir things up in me. And just in terms of, I have been around a lot of human tragedy over my time in service. And for me, that just started to resonate. It also helped that the detective I was working with was also a believer. So I travel a lot for my job, and the start of this was in the air on an airplane at 30,000 feet when God put it on my heart to build a restoration home for women coming out of human trafficking in Monterey County. Similar to the call that I talked about earlier to become a police officer, this was that second call. Once to become a police officer and now to do this. And I actually kept pretty quiet about this one. And I tell people that this wasn't a Gideon hesitating. This wasn't Gideon saying, God, please prove it. Okay, that was not me this time around. I accepted that God had put this call to me. And then it was, okay, but how the heck is a guy who is at the end of his Homeland Security law enforcement career going to make this happen? He was sat on plenty of church boards and preschool boards and other types of, but how do you set a home up? So what's cool is that over the next year, and this happened about 18 months ago, is that I just started trusting that God would bring people together who have a common vision for this, a heart for this. And it started with an event at Shoreline Church, The Gospel and Justice. I said, hey, I'm interested in presenting on this. They agreed. We did two breakout sessions. I was able to put together a panel. We probably had 400 people come over 2 days. That was step one. And then I kind of felt like, okay, God, there, I did it. God was like, no, you're not done yet. So I threw out there every step of this. It's been thinking about what's the next step going to be and kind of and presenting those. Okay, if you're interested in this, this is the next step. Well, 400 turned into 80 at a follow-on event at Cypress Church. So let me back up a little bit. So when I started putting together this panel at Shoreline, I was connected with a woman, Felicia George, who runs a organization called Set Free Movement. She is a chapter of the Set Free Movement here in the Watsonville area. We connected. She's been doing and teaching on human trafficking in the elementary school, high schools, regionally. And she and her husband, Chris, have been pursuing this for the last, I believe, 4 to 5 years. So through this network, think about social networks for bad. This is social networks for good. I connected with her, and she actually sits on the board of Eden's Glory. So we had this network coming together, and that turned into a partnership with an organization called Eden's Glory, which you can search if you're interested in looking at it. It is a restoration home out of Illinois, and we connected with the director, the founders of this ministry. And that's what established, that's what got this group. So like-minded Christians, Christ-centered, all working. And then it just kind of let that start to percolate and go.
Now, there are others on the Monterey Peninsula that are seeking to work in the human trafficking rescue mission, if you can call it that. I'm part of Calvary. I know they have some people that are interested in starting to pray for it.
We just had a meeting a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
So, yes.
Okay.
So I was there and met the folks.
Connected with them. And there's something happening. Is it the YMCA?
The YWCA
connected with them?
Yeah, we have a connection with them. They actually have a home for human trafficked women that's out there. It's got six beds, and they have a process.
But what you want to do is start a house here, right, in modeling after that one that you described.
Yeah, so the call is to build a home, a restoration home for women coming out of human trafficking, and the model we want to use is the Eden's Glory model because they've done the work. I do want to talk for a few minutes about what is human trafficking in the context of the Monterey Salinas area.
Yeah, what is, some people might be thinking, we're talking about traffic, putting cars on the road and...
I hope not. But the fact is that we have slavery occurring across the world.
Modern day slavery, basically.
And it takes many forms. It could be labor, it could be sexual. It could be, if you go check out Set Free Movement on their website, you can take a look at the various ways that this manifests. But for us, it's about specifically to women who are trapped and being sold for sex. You know, just to put some context. So you have, maybe people's perception is truck stops, walking on the street. That's really not how things work. It's all done via the web, via the internet, via websites. And here's some hardcore realities. Between August 21st and August 28th of this year, there were 3,400 ads posted on websites sexually trafficking women. That's only, those 3,400 posts are specific to Monterey, Salinas, and Pebble Beach. And generally, it's about 100 to 1. So one woman puts out 100 ads. So even if that number is correct, let's assume it's only half. Even if we did 100 to 1, that's 340 women who were sexually trafficked in our region, which is terrible.
Yes. Do you really believe you can make a dent in that number? You must have the gift of faith to step out and launch into this endeavor. Share with us a little bit about how convinced you are that you can actually make a difference?
I think the easy answer is the shepherd who leaves the flock for the one missing sheep. I think that we do what we can with what God equips us to do. For those who don't understand it's not about a woman choosing to be sexually trafficked. They are brought into a world where they are emotionally, physically, spiritually broken. they are twisted to believe that the person who's trafficking them loves them and cares for them. Jesus talked about the sower of seeds and how he went out and threw seeds everywhere. And some fell on, I'm not going to get the order right, but some fell on the path, totally hard ground, and were trampled. Some fell amongst thorns, and when they grew up, they were choked out by the thorns. Some fell on shallow ground, so they sprouted up and received it with joy, but then the sun came up and scorched them. They had no root. And some fell among the soil, the good soil, and it was 10, 100-fold. I tell people that we are working in a world, the ministry is working in the world where these women are so broken, they're so hardened, that it's very hard to get somebody, a woman, convinced that their trafficker does not, in fact, love them, and to have them come out. So if this all is about one, then praise God for that.
Yeah. Well, you have to start with one. I heard a story of a boy that was trying to rescue little turtles that were hatching on the beach, and seagulls and predators were coming and eating the turtles before they can get to the safety of the water. And someone said to him, "You really think you can make a difference?" As he was, you know, trying to gently lead these turtles to the water. And as the boy picked up one and put it gently in the water, he said, "Well, it made a difference for that one." And sometimes you just have to take the criticism that you can't change everything, but you can make a difference for one individual. And how much more value are we than a turtle or than a sparrow, Jesus said.
And I also want to throw out that there's a cost to do this. If you look at Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 16, it talks about Paul and Silas getting thrown in prison. And why did they get thrown in prison? Well, this is what it says. "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out of her that very hour. When her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews. They are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in by attacking them. And the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Why do I read this? Well, here you have a perfect example of a woman who was being trafficked, for maybe not sexually trafficked, but certainly trafficked because she was demon-possessed.
And a slave girl who had owners that were making money off of her. And then when Paul intervened, they stopped making money and they wanted him thrown in jail.
I always thought it was curious as why they would be thrown in jail to be kept safe. So they got a beating and then they were thrown in jail. It didn't make sense. And then it occurred to me that, well, they were thrown in jail because this group whipped a mob up so much they would have been killed. So the safest place for them was in jail. And then I thought about those silly Westerns where there's some murder or something happens and the townspeople want to string somebody up and it's the sheriff has to intervene to throw them in jail to keep them safe from the mob. And that took me about 3 days of reading and reflecting on this to think about this. And the fact is we need to stand firm because Satan will come against us. And maybe it's going to come in the form of some regulation of some group. And we live in a world where right now there is discussion in the state of California of potentially introducing legislation to legalize prostitution. And so we're standing against, I don't care what anybody says. I would love to have a follow-on show with this with a woman by the name of Ashley Chesney. She came out of a trafficked life. She's part of our ministry. She's on our board of directors. And there's a lot to be said about what does that trafficked life look like. And I'm not even going to speak to it because I was always on the enforcement side of things. But I hope that people understand that this is an absolute tragedy, and it is Satan working at his best, and we need to stand against that, and we also need to be prepared for the pushback.
So that's part of the cost of starting a ministry like this. What other costs are there? I'm sure there's emotional cost, financial costs have got to be astronomical. How, if people wanted to pray for you, that's needed. What are the other ways that people can help?
So if you are interested in participating, we're going to hold an event on October 5th at Cypress Church. It's focused on the Set Free movement. We're going to have an evening presenter. We're going to have a concert, actually, and dinner that we're going to provide. So I'll read this. This is the ad. This is the post that you'll see. We will gather together at Cypress Church for a Set Free Movement dinner event that will include a testimony and concert. As the Monterey Bay chapter of the Set Free Movement, we are hosting this event to focus on global, national, and local issues surrounding human trafficking. You'll hear from Felisa George about how we're partnering with believers across the globe. Ashley Chesney will give a testimony of her escape from the traffic life, and I'll cover our vision for our local team. So if you're interested, and then a gentleman by the name of Richard Andrew is coming up from Southern California, singer-songwriter, worship leader, public speaker, recording artist, and evangelist, and he'll be there. So if you want to go check out the Set Free Monterey Bay website, alternatively, I have an email. It is stoptraffickingmonterey@gmail.com. So I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do. You asked me about the cost. I tell people who come, there's a lot of folks who like to come. It just reminds me of when Jesus said hard things in his ministry and people show up and everyone's really excited. But once he talks about the hard part about being Christians or following Christ, people walk away. And so we get this interest of people who say, oh yeah, that's a terrible thing. Great. Well, it requires time, talent, and treasure. And that's what we need. We have, now God has been wonderful to us, is that I started with a goal of raising $2,000 so that we could bring out the Eden's Glory team to Monterey. That cost, that was their flights and such. And the next thing I know, we had $4,500. And then praying about it and working with this ad hoc group essentially said, look, if we're going to build this home, it's going to require $500,000. We're not just going to raise that tomorrow, but we want to do something to continually support and make a difference. You asked me about making a difference.
Yes.
So the difference is, let's find a woman. If we can find a woman from the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area who wants to get out and go to Eden's Glory, we want to fully sponsor them into the program. It's about $2,000 a month. And so we put that out, and our goal was twofold. One, get monthly committed giving to $2,000 a month. So once we identify a woman who wants to get out, we can pay all of her expenses. And two, to have $24,000 in an account that we can have a backup in case we come short on the monthly giving. Well, we're in August right now. That kind of came up earlier this year, and I'm humbled to report back that we have met the $24,000 goal. We've got $1,900 in committed monthly giving. We see more than that, but people are saying, yeah, I'm going to support. So there's a little bit of room here if you want to be part of that ministry financially. And we have filed paperwork to establish a local nonprofit called Set Free Monterey Bay. Right now we are operating under the Set Free Movement nonprofit. So if you do are interested in donating, please reach out to me at stoptraffickingmonterey@gmail.com or go to Set Free Movement just search Set Free Movement and you can connect to us that way.
Okay. And could they donate through the Set Free parent organization?
Yes. If you navigate to make a donation, you can actually, if you follow the steps, you'll get to a spot where you can toggle through and find Set Free Monterey Bay.
And do you have the blessing and support of any local churches?
We have support from Shoreline Church, Cypress Church, All Things New, which operates out of Monterey, Calvary Chapel, Monterey, and we've got the Corralitos Community Free Methodist Church. The long-term goal here is we'll be an established nonprofit building a home, but we'll do this as a Christ-centered mission. If God is calling you to be part of this and you can do this financially and you're interested in donating us substantially to build this home, that's wonderful. If you want to be part of providing ministry support financially so we can support a woman to go to Eden's Glory, that's very cool too. So as God leads, and if you're interested, it's, you know, I said earlier, time, talent, and treasure. We'll have events. It'd be great if you want to spend your time getting to know us and we can get to know you. If you have a talent, if you are good at marketing, if you're good at public speaking, the Eden's Glory program is 2 years, and 1 year about getting healed and the second year about learning skills. So the intent is we would have a staff. So it's not just about building the house. It's about building the house and having a staff and any licensing that needs to go with that. We're beyond vision at this point, and we're in a strategic plan to make sure everything we need to do gets checked off the box. It's hard, man. This is humbling because it's an area that I'm familiar with, but not familiar with, and just trust that God is going to guide us to the right people, and we're getting there to serve and give us the expertise to do all the things to make this happen. And I just trust that God's going to do that. And I praise God for that.
That's great. And I'm always inspired by people launching out, stepping out in faith in whatever area of ministry that they're called to do. And looking back over your life and looking forward, it's clear that God is working and preparing you for such a time as this in our modern culture, how big of an issue and problem that it is. And so we'll be praying for you. How can we specifically pray for you in this next season?
That God would bring the right people to build a treatment home, to create the staff, to get us to put together a program so that we're solid. Pray that God will open the door for any government approvals that we need, that there won't be snags and snafus. Pray for all of us as that we will be protected, that the full armor of God is upon us, so that anything that comes against us, and you and I have talked about how dark forces move against anything that we want to do, and that can take any form, whether it's work stress, family stress, temptation of anger or whatever, and just allow us, those are the prayers that we're covered and that we stay motivated and we don't get discouraged.
Can we pray for the first woman that...
You can join about 65 people who have been praying for that woman to come. And I'm going to break my own rule and say thank you for having me on the program today.
Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate that. And so once again, if you want to learn more about Mike Asplund's ministry, it's called Set Free Monterey Bay.
You can search there. You can send me an email at stoptraffickingmonterey@gmail.com.
And if you want to thank the sponsor for this episode, it's
Reborn Upholstery.
Reborn Upholstery. And just Google that.
You can get a hold of Marjorie, and hopefully we will make your furniture look brand new.
Yeah.
Woo!
What's the good news for the Monterey Bay?
That Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that if we turn to him, all things will be made new, that under the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we can find peace that surpasses all understanding. And that is my hope, that for those women that we are able to reach, that they will experience 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
Awesome. That's the gospel right there. dwellontruth.org. God bless you.